question is, how do we live in the spirit?
That's what I'm coming
How do
to.
We walk in the spirit?
We are coming. That's the purpose of this message. So now we have to take an example. You can only be in the spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the starting point. You can never be in the spirit without the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, He will open the eyes of your faith to see revelation from God. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. To walk by faith, it demands revelation from the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost will speak to your heart to reveal to you in your conscience what God says about you, what God wants you to do. You are the only person that heard the voice. Peter was the only one that heard the voice in his heart. Since he understood that voice, he was convinced it was God speaking to him, and then real movement came. He obeyed. When the Holy Ghost is leading you, no human being will know what's going inside of you. I will sit down here. You watch TV. You see a TV, an advert of a nice food. Hey, let me go to fast food. Your zero mind. Your mind sees it, like it, and next day you take your car and go and eat. Or you watch an advert of a beautiful sparkling water. Next time, you go open your fridge and you drink it. It is your mind. It is your senses that are leading you. But I sit down. All of a sudden, something in my heart. Go and pray. Go and read the Bible. In my conscience. Oh, I just stood. Go to the primary. Holy Spirit. What's the difference between two? The first one, the influence comes from the outside.
From something you perceive with your senses.
You watch, you hear, influence from outside, from the world. The other one came deep inside you. You're the only person that hear the voice of the Holy Ghost in your heart. When you believe it, you walk and you obey. If your mind is convinced it's God speaking to me, I will stood up and I go. So what I want to say is something about the mind. We have the mind of Christ, right, Ruth? And the mind of man. The mind of Christ, the contact point is your conscience. Where the mind of man is my mind, my carnal mind here. That's what the Bible talks about, two types of people in Romans chapter 8. To be carnally minded is what? Sin and death.
Sin and death, yeah.
To be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does it mean to all this? Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says, there is such a way that seems good to a man, but the end of it is a way of
death.
That's what Ruth just said. Beware of people giving you good intention, people giving you advice in the natural, which seems good. At the end of it, you regret, disappointment. Many were led by good intention to enter into agreement and they regret all their life.
Someone's asking, how then can we know that the advice one has given is not right, even if it comes from a credible voice?
By the same Holy Spirit.
Depends what you mean by a credible voice.
No, mate, listen, the answer is quite simple, the same way.
Yeah.
If somebody tells you something, go and pray over it and ask Holy Spirit, what is the mind of God in the matter?
If your spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit, when something is of God, you will have that inner peace. And if it's not, then you won't have peace on the inside.
Okay. You talk about peace. Okay, let me give you an example. To be kindly minded, we are saying, is sin and death. You take a decision, at the end of it, death and disappointment come. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What does this mean? When the Holy Ghost is leading you, your conscience and your mind will be at peace because you know it is the will of God for you. You are doing the right thing. It will impart a strength to endure everything. That's what the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. When you have a trouble, you pray. Am I right? Pray with supplication. And the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? When the situation is tough, I pray to God. When God revealed me his purpose, I have peace. This is what God wants me to do. I stop worrying. And the peace of heart will affect my mind. I stop worrying in my mind. So I begin to speak right and think right. And peace comes. Mean the right knowledge of God brings peace to you in your heart, in your mind, and you are calm and self-controlled when you walk in the Spirit.
And sometimes remember that the truth is not always the easiest to hear. Sometimes what is nice to hear to the flesh is not actually the right thing for us. But the truth will set us free.
The question is, you said something very interesting. Truth is bitter, but it sets you free.
Yeah.
From God's point of view. Okay. I like to drink sweet things. I love it. I drink.
He doesn't drink. Actually, by the way.
No, but I praise the Lord. I used to before, but Holy Ghost came. I changed. But I like it naturally. It's sweet, right? Yeah. You continue to eat. Oh, you like to smoke. You love it. You like it. That's your choice. Mm. Until one day, you begin to have pain in your body. Doctors say, hey, if you continue to do this, I'm seeing diabetes too coming. If you continue to smoke, I'm seeing lung cancer coming. What will you do?
You'll stop.
You stop immediately. And begin to check your mind. I want you to do what is right. I don't want this to destroy. And you change your mind, you change your attitude immediately. That's why the word of God has us capacity to correct us and to point us to the right way. So, why we're saying all this? We want to do what is right in the sight of God is life and peace. If I know the word of truth, I stop this and I do this and my life is maintained and sustained. Now, when Jesus rebuked Peter, because Peter looked in the natural, but let's see what happened to Jesus as another example. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So in Matthew chapter 16-17, Jesus decided to go to Jerusalem and told his disciple. But Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus walked consciously, deliberately towards Jerusalem, knowing what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. What was waiting for him? A terrible death. And he walked towards there, straight. In Acts chapter 20-22, Paul was going back to Jerusalem. And the Spirit tell him, where you are going, they will arrest you. They will persecute you. The Spirit is revealing this to me, but I'm not afraid. Let me die for Jesus. He went straight. What's the difference between Paul, who went to Jerusalem knowing in advance what was waiting for him? What's the difference with Jesus who walked towards the cross, knowing absolutely what is going to happen? He told them prophetically, they will arrest me. They will spit on me. They will kill me. On the third day, I will rise again. He told them everything. Because he knew the will of God, the mind of God. It was not in the flesh, it was in the spirit. That's the real Jesus we are talking about. If human being know that death is coming, he will run away opposite side. God asked Jonah. When Jonah heard the message of that message of God, go to Nineveh. He took a boat and ran away to Tarsus. Now, the flesh has its own way, different from the way of the spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit to do what is right in the sight of God. Okay, in your marital life, if you have to choose, praise the Lord. If you have to, you choose what type of the most handsome, beautiful, you want to marry Miss World. Everybody, and the woman to marry, Mr. Universe. Huh? We have our criteria on the outside. You mentioned beauty, da, 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 da. But nobody will mention the quality of the heart. Nobody. Because nobody sees the heart. You forget that you marry character first before you marry body. You forget that you marry a spirit being before you marry a body. That's the way of God. You must be led by God to have peace and heart. If you do the will of God, you have peace and heart. That's why the Bible says, the blessing of God bless you and bring no regret in the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. Now, Jesus, when the time came, Jesus went to Gethsemane. He said, Father, the time has come. He went to pray and he carried three strongest disciples.
Peter, James, and John.
Jesus always carried these three. Anytime miracle happened, transfiguration, he brought them. When he was raising the dead in the house of Jairus, he brought these people. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he took these three to bring them closer to him to pray. And asked them to watch and pray. When Jesus was praying, he saw in the spirit what was happening. He said, Father, if this is possible, can this cup, let this cup pass me by. That was the expression of his mind. But he went and prayed again. The Bible says three times Jesus did. And he ended up saying, Father, not my will. Let your will be done.
Because the Holy Spirit strengthened him.
Mean there is a battle between the conscious and the mind. There is a battle between the revelation and the human understanding. There is a battle between the spirit and the natural. When you think in the natural, we resist the things of the spirit. But when we are in the spirit, we understand. But the body, we still resist. That's why we need the strength of the Holy Spirit to do what is right in the sight of God. The moment you choose to do what is right, the right direction, Holy Ghost will come and give you strength to endure and to cross the river and to cross the fire and to go through it.
Exactly. You just have to make the right decision. Once you've made that decision, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you to maintain that decision, to maintain the distance, to finish the race.
That is a real moment.
So those of you that have started, I believe we've all started this race. We're on the journey of life. Don't give up now. Make sure you allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you so you can cross the finish line.
So as a Christian, we are called to run the straight race with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. That's the Christian race. Our life is a race. Life is a journey. And this journey, you must be led by the Holy Spirit at each step, each interval of this journey of righteousness. I want to show something, some pictures to try to explain in a way, maybe like a natural way, to help you understand this concept we are talking about. Because sometimes we understand it carnally, or we want to show you a picture to explain the difference between walking the natural and walking the spirit. So let's see. So this message is to teach you how to be in the spirit, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. This picture, number one, you see. Who are you? If I ask who are you, you say you are the man holding the head. It's not you. I'm going to explain how a true believer, how a child of God is led by God in the spirit. This vehicle is you. That's your body. That's your life. We take our decision. We travel. We take decision. We do whatever we want to do to carry this body. Our mind, our decision is carrying our life is a result of the decision we make every single day. But now, this man, you see, if I'm a spiritual person, that's the role of Holy Spirit. God revealed to Simon Peter, go to the house of Cornelius. But he refused to go. Why? Because he didn't understand. This what lacked to Peter was to receive the word of life. When the Holy Ghost spoke to the word of life, he understood and obeyed. That word of life is a fuel of walking in the spirit. This car, he has no fuel. He cannot walk. He's motionless. He cannot move. What do you need? If your heart is empty, you don't have the word of life, no instruction from the Holy Ghost, there's no way you can walk in the spirit. You must be first in the spirit, connected, and then you receive the fuel of the living word in your heart. That's the fuel that can make you to start the movement by faith. It comes by hearing and obeying the word of God. Now, if this car doesn't have fuel, you don't have any word, what do you do? Naturally, you have to go to the gas station. You go to the place where you receive the right fuel that will allow this vehicle to move.
So now in this first picture where it says man without faith, it means that the car can't move.
Why? Because that's what Romans chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 17 says. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But how will they hear if nobody preaches? How will they preach if nobody is sent? So you have to go to a place where you receive that word of life. That's the gas station of God. Picture number two. Now, the car go to the filling station. The filling station is a church. Not every church. It's not the building. The filling station is a person who is anointed by God. A person who is baptized in the Holy Ghost. A person who is led by God, who speaks the word of God, who hears the word of God, the word of life. When that person is speaking to you, he's speaking to your heart. And your heart is a tank that receives the fuel.
So if you are connected to the Spirit of God, you can allow yourself to become a filling station for someone else's spirit.
Thank you.
You can refresh them.
Thank you. When you speak the word of life.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Rather than draining them by negative words or complaints.
Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Paul was speaking to Lydia, words of life. The Bible said the Lord opened the heart of Lydia to receive the word. That's what I'm going to talk about you now. You come to the filling station and you listen to somebody speaking words of life. Or you, many listen to Jesus' teaching when he was speaking to the masses. Mm. Some of their heart was cut to pieces. They say, hey, this is the man. And they accepted Jesus. While others could not receive the message and passed by.
That means some were in the filling station but didn't actually open the car to receive the gas.
That's why when you go to the filling station, the first thing you do, you don't grab the nozzle. The first thing you do, what do you first thing you do?
You open the...
Thank you.
What's that thing called?
The cup of the mouth of the tongue. You open it. Okay. You have to open your heart. If you do not open your heart, God will never, never pour the spirit of revelation to your heart.
Mm.
Your duty is to open, but God doesn't want to waste it. To open your heart is to pay attention. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, they shall be filled.
Mm.
If you know the value of the fuel and you pay attention and you begin to meditate, your heart, Holy Ghost will open your heart. Peter was hungry. He went to eat. He went in trance. Holy Ghost opened his heart to receive the fuel from heaven.
So in that means that for us to physically open the cap to receive the fuel into the car, the Holy Spirit needs to do that.
Absolutely.
We can't open our heart ourselves.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit has to open our heart. Even if we say, I want to have an open heart, we can be ready to believe. We can want to believe. We can have good intentions. But remember, it's the Holy Spirit that opens our heart.
That's why we call it Holy Ghost, Ephesians 1:17. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of revelation.
That's why we say, Holy Spirit, take more of me, give me more of you.
Thank you. Give me
a hearing heart.
That prayer, Prophet Elijah gave us, is pregnant.
Mm.
Take more of me. What does it mean, take more of me? What does it mean?
Take more of my flesh, my unbelief.
It's more than that. Go ahead, take more of me. What is inside of me? What is inside of you?
Doubt.
Doubt. Nothing good. Fear.
Fear.
Take more of my carnally minded thoughts and give me more of your revelation. That's the meaning of the prayer. Take more of me. Take more of my own wisdom. More of my carnal mind.
Mm.
And give me more of your revelation, the mind of Christ.
Mm.
That's the prayer. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will fill you with the mind of Christ. He will fill you with the word of life. He fills the tank of your heart with the living word. Without this, you cannot have faith. You cannot move anywhere.
Mm.
Now, if you are humble and you believe for salvation's sake, you thirst and hunger, then you open your heart. If I want to drink and I'm thirsty, I open my mouth and drink it. Right? But you have to open your heart. When the Holy Ghost opens your heart, he will now, if you see your heart is open, next picture, what does he do? He will grab the nozzle. Holy Ghost take what is from God and communicate it to you. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 12 to 14, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear it. Means you cannot understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will take what is of me and give it to you.
Mm.
He will not speak of his own. Whatever he hears from me, he give it to you. That's what he's doing. Now the word of life from the heart of God, from the mind of God in heaven, Holy Ghost will take it and communicate it to you if your heart is opened. That's what he does. Number four. Number five. Can we go to number five? Huh? Can't you see? He sees your heart open. Now he introduces the nozzle and now the fuel directly you can see from the heart of God to your heart. Revelation came. This is what happened to Simon Peter.
Mm.
When Peter was in trance, vision came, revelation came, inspiration came from heaven and he saw those animals coming.
My heart, hear the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
My heart, hear the voice of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. My heart, hear the voice of God. My heart, hear the voice of Holy Spirit. Let there be freedom, let there be rest in my heart, in my mind.
Oh my God, oh, to be sure.
And in my soul.
In Jesus' name, let there be freedom, let there be rest in my heart. You hear what he say? Let there be rest in my heart and in my soul. That's exactly what the Bible says. When you hear the word of Holy Ghost in your heart, it will keep your heart and your mind in the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Your heart will receive revelation and your mind be at peace because you know the will of God. When you hear the voice of God, let there be freedom. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you are so much worried about something that seems to lead to death, and God tells you, you will not die. Don't worry. I'm here. Hold on. God's word points to life. You change. You have peace. You stop worrying and peace come. It's fundamental to understand this. At each step of this, you are led by the Holy Spirit. Who will take you to the gas station? Only Holy Ghost knows who has his word. Not everywhere you should go. You should pray for God to lead you to a living church. God to lead you to the real person that truly has the well of living waters inside of him.
And that's why we said, be careful that those you trust are led by God each day.
Natural word can never enter this tank.
So number six, the Holy Spirit gives life.
Now, after the tank is filled, when you meditate, you're filled with the word of God in your heart, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, you may know the word of God. You may receive something from God. But does that mean the vehicle will start? Once revelation comes, when inspiration comes, what is next? You can't say, I have faith. Faith is our movement towards God. Faith is our movement towards God. Faith is when I, in the Spirit, led by the Holy Ghost, now I set in motion towards God. That's the meaning of it. Now, the fact I received the word doesn't mean I will move. Peter received the word, but he refused to go because he didn't understand anything. He received revelation. The tank was filled with revelation, but he resisted. What will happen for Peter now to happen? You enter the vehicle. The vehicle is in the station. It's full of fuel, but you have a role to play, my dear brothers and sisters. You have a role to play. God is waiting for you to do something. What did we do? Peter didn't give up. He was meditating. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. He was meditating. He never gave up. He wanted to understand. He was meditating. When you meditate.
Like the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading.
In your heart. In your heart. In
the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand.
Exactly. When you turn it to heart, something will pump the fuel from your heart to second place I call your conscience. And that's what I want to talk about. When the Holy Ghost comes now to help you, to help Peter, he spoke to Peter clearly. Mean for the car to start, what do you need to do for the engine to start? You have to ignite the engine. Your conscience, you see, he introduced the key in the contact. We call it in French contact. It indicates the ignition. You press the button to ignite it. It set fire to the fuel and the engine will start. Am I right? This ignition point is your conscience. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will set the fire of revelation into your conscience and telling you, go, do this, this is my way. This is what happened to Peter. When the Holy Ghost spoke, he put the fire of revelation in the mind, in the conscience of Peter, and he heard the voice. And the engine is triggered and start working. This is where faith starts. Faith starts. Holy Ghost uses your conscience as the communication point, contact point, to set the fire of revelation of the will of God directly deep inside of you.
So that means that the Holy Spirit won't bypass the mind.
I'm coming. For the moment, I'm in the level of conscience, not mind yet. You put the fire here in your mind, right? You agree with me? The engine starts. But does the vehicle move? Because just because you put your in there, will the engine move by itself?
No.
It will not move. Because the engine is turning around, right? But there is what moves the vehicle is what we call transmission. We all have our driving license. And I'm telling you, you should know. We have what we call the transmission. Is the engine is turning. Now, the transmission is what communicates to the wheel. They are separated. The engine is turning, but the vehicle cannot move. Now, when you receive revelation from God, if you don't know how vehicle works, you will not drive the vehicle. But if you know how the power of the engine is transferred to the wheel by the transmission, and how it happens, is the gear. You clutch and enter the gear, and now the two come together. When they couple now, they start moving. That's number seven. This means this gear we are talking about plays a vital role. This means the conscience, which is the contact point, cannot control the movement of the vehicle without going through the gear. The vehicle cannot go without the gear. When the gear contacts them, then the power comes to the wheel and the car begins to move. This is what happens. This gear is your mind. This is where your mind will understand the purpose, the will of God. And when he understands it, he obeys. Holy Ghost will say, put the first gear. And you put the first gear. And the vehicle starts in motion. This is what happened to Peter. This gear is your mind. If your mind does not cooperate, if it is a neutral position, the car cannot move. When your mind is renewed, you understand the message you hear go in your mind by the Holy Ghost. Go to the house of Cornelius. Peter obeyed. His mind was renewed. And what did he have? He acted faith. That's the gear.
So that's what real movement's about.
That's where real movement starts.
So that's where it says that God will meet you at the point of real movement. You have to actually do something.
Faith.
Yeah.
The step of faith. When your mind is renewed, you act faith. Your mind obey. Your mind, you will submit to the will of Christ. Now these are, you can see the difference. Your conscious is the mind of God, right?
Mm.
This gear is your mind. But if your mind knows the will of God and submit to it, you obey the instruction. That's why the peace of God comes to your conscience and to your mind. Your conscience and your mind become one in Christ Jesus. When you understand, your will submit to the will of God, and now there's a connection of faith. And then you enter real movement and the vehicle starts to move. If I can summarize this simply, your conscience is the engine that drives your life. But your mind plays a vital role. It's your mind that drives your body. Your conscience should be the direct you, not your mind. Not your own thinking, but the thoughts of God. When you receive revelation from in your conscience, that's the engine. Now, Holy Ghost will
help
you.
So your mind should be your servant, not your master.
Absolutely. Your mind becomes your servant when it understands the message, the revelation. Only then you begin to obey and walk towards the way of the Lord. This is what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 16. Paul wanted to go to Asia. I summarize. When you switch the engine on, when you press, you ignite it. That's your conscience. Your conscience is on fire when revelation comes to your conscience. But your mind is a gear. Your will must understand the message in your heart. Your conscience is in your heart. Your mind is here on top. Right there too. First, the contact point is in your, the fire is in your heart by meditation. Now, when you understand this, Holy Ghost will help you to understand what is in your heart, your mind. Peter received revelation in his heart, but he did not understand until Holy Ghost came and spoke to him and helped him to understand the meaning of the dream. That's your mind begin to understand. This is understanding. This is revelation. Your conscience is the realm of revelation. Your mind is the realm of understanding. That's the gear. This is the one that moves your body. This one will not move if he doesn't understand what's happening here. So Holy Ghost will start first, bring to your understanding the meaning of the message, and then you can obey. If you have a dream in your heart, you must understand your dream before you can act on it. Nebuchadnezzar received the dream in his heart, but he never understood until Daniel came and explained to him. When he understood, he obeyed. When Pharaoh dreamt, his heart received a revelation of the seven cows in his heart. But he never understood until Joseph came and explained to him. His mind changed, he understood, and he took the right decision. When the Bible says, be in the spirit, it has to do with this one, your conscience. Walk in the spirit, the mind must cooperate to drag this body to walk in the spirit, to go where God wants you to go.
You say that again about what you said, your conscience is the one that drives your life?
Yeah.
But your mind drives your body.
Your mind drives your body. The life is your heart. Your conscience rule. Your conscience will reveal to you in the spirit what God wants. That's your spiritual life. Your conscience drives your spiritual life, right? Mm. But your mind drives your body physically. That's why the Bible says our mind must be spiritual. The mind becomes spiritual when the message in your heart is accepted by the mind.
Mm.
You understand?
So the direction you take in your vehicle,
mm-hmm,
depends on who's driving the vehicle.
Thank you. Who is driving the vehicle? Not you. Holy Ghost.
So, and sometimes Holy Spirit will take you where you don't want to go naturally. For example, you might not want to be generous, but the Holy Spirit says, give what you cherish most. Or you might not want to forgive, but the Holy Spirit will say, forgive even when it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you follow the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is when you will be driving in line with God's will, and you'll get to where God wants you to go, and you'll be connected to where God wants you to connect.
That's why there's a cooperation. Holy Ghost wants to direct you, to lead you to point A, but your mind must obey. Your mind cannot obey until it understands. That's the gear. When you're going to have revelation, you're going to have a lot of conviction in your heart, it becomes dormant until you obey. That's why obedience is the way. It's obedience that brings real movement, that brings the blessing of God.
Hmm.
There's something to hear. There's something to hear and to be a doer of the word.
So that's eight, isn't it? Real movement.
Now, if I obey, right? The vehicle starts moving, right? But at slow pace. What do? I press down the accelerator. This is where faith sat. Up to point seven, it was only belief. And belief is dormant. But he's acting faith. This is where faith sat.
Can you see why this is called Foundation Series? You have to watch this again and again to really let it sink in. Some people are saying they don't understand. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand, because this is spiritual truths we're talking about.
I will
about.
Explain to the person. When God is speaking to your heart, to your spirit, it's inside of you, in your heart, you hear a voice telling you, do this. But you as a human being, you will not do it because you don't understand what it says. If God say, open this door, you hear it. Is it God? Is it me? I will not open it. But if you know it is God, you will open it. If you don't understand it is God, you will not open the door. That's why Holy Ghost helps us to understand. You have to pray. Understanding does not come automatically. Well, as Ruth said, you pray and Holy Ghost open your understanding. Your understanding is your mind, your thinking. This is human. But God is in your heart here, in your conscience. This is revelation straight. But as a human being, do you understand the way of God? You read the Bible here, but the Bible is spirit and life.
That's why so many people, they can read the Bible, but it stops there. They don't apply it to their life. And that's why there's no real movement, because it's not actually actively applied.
That's why I use the vehicle to help you to understand what I'm saying. If you know how to drive a vehicle, you will understand what I'm saying.
Otherwise, it will be a stationary vehicle, not going anywhere.
Once you have the gas, your vehicle, you have to ignite the engine to start your vehicle. Once you start your vehicle, what do you do next? The gear. You obey, you incline the gear, and the vehicle starts moving. So when you fill your tank, you receive revelation of the word of God in your heart is a tank, right? But now, if the Holy Ghost wants you to go somewhere, it will give you a dream. You have to walk towards your dream. So your mind, your decision, your action, the mind dictates the direction of your body. Your mind. I want to go this. I want to go to Paris. That's you. But does God say you want to go there? If God speaks to you and go to Jerusalem, say, God has spoken. I'm not going to Paris. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm doing the will of God. That is your mind. But I want to say to you, your conscience is to receive revelation from God, the will of God. But your mind, your thinking, is have to obey to do what is right in the sight of God. If God say, you receive a prophecy, God tell me, go and tell Ruth to stop eating this. I heard it in my heart. Because that is God. I say, Ruth, God say, stop eating this. I obey because I understand what he said. But if I don't understand, I say, it's me thinking. I will not act on it. How many times you enter a vehicle, accident about to happen, something is telling you, don't do this. That's your conscience. Holy Ghost says, don't do this. But you go and do it by your own mind and you find yourself in trouble.
You know, some people are asking, what is the point then of the body, the flesh, if God is so much more concerned about the spirit?
It is, your flesh is concerned to God. God wants you to do what is right.
It all works together.
Wait, God wants your body to be led by the spirit. That's what we call to walk by faith. Means you are in the world, but not a part of it. How do you do your body? Your body is a temple of Holy Spirit. Your body is important to God.
We relate with people.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm a child of God, right? My body, I use it for righteousness' sake. I will not go where Jesus doesn't want me to go. I will go where God wants me to go. I will speak what God wants me to speak. God will use your body. Now, the purpose of your body is to bless others. The purpose of your body is to communicate the life of God to others. Mm. The angel did not preach the gospel.
Because we're called to live in community.
1 second. The angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius. God said, go and call Peter.
Mm.
That's the purpose of your body. Peter has to bring his body to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was not spiritual. He had the voice from the mouth of Peter. And the word entered the heart of the person. God created you with a body. It is important. But your body is not unto sin, but unto righteousness.
Mm. It's a temple of holiness.
Absolutely. Mm. What you receive from God will command your body to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. You will not quarrel. You will not fight.
And that is why we should look after our body.
And that's the fruit of the spirit.
Because this is... Jesus has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. He works through us.
Thank you.
That is why we need to look after our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Now, your spirit, the spirit of God inside of you, cannot move this body without the submission of your mind.
Mm.
Simple. That's why your mind needs to be renewed to understand the Bible. If you don't understand something, you can never apply it.
Mm.
We are reading the Bible carnally, like a book, if we don't obey it. Why? Because something is lacking. When you are led by the Holy Spirit, your conscience, your heart becomes sensitive.
Mm.
You have discernment. You know God is speaking to your heart and you woke up and you just do obey.
Imagine the blessing that your life can be. Imagine one single person's life, physical life, the blessing that can come from that person's obedience and submission to God.
Thank you.
You know, they can reach unreachable places. They can do unreachable things by faith and become such a blessing. Why? Because they're following what God says. They're following the direction of God for their life. That is why we're not called to copy or follow God's goal for someone else. We're called to follow God's goal for our life. We're called to do what Jesus wants us to do. And that might not be filling our life with good activities, but it's finding out what God wants us to do and doing it. And blessing comes from that.
So if you walk in the Spirit, in your body, you will not suffer. You will do what is right in the sight of God.
Look at the books that Paul wrote.
Hmm.
Many people could have said at that time, oh, he should have traveled more and done more miracles and prayed for more people and laid his hands on people. But he was spent a lot of his time in prison and he wrote the epistles, which now are the pillar of our faith. So do what God wants you to do.
The question is that you are here in the University of God.
Hmm.
We have primary school. We have university. We have to stop being babies. The time has come to become mature in the way we handle God's word and walk properly. Today, we hear all sorts of things.
Mm.
But where is the truth? Where is the spirit?
Start driving your car.
Is this me? I'm the one taking medicine? Is God is leading me? That's why we have the household of faith to teach these things to people. Today, we do it from time to time for everybody to hear. But please, it is your duty to understand this. This thing never came at first. God give me the grace to walk in it and to learn at the foot of many people at Prophetic Vision. But I learned this truth. God wants you to understand the Bible. The first ingredient of faith is to understand spiritual things.
Mm.
When you walk in the natural, you never understand spiritual things. If you don't understand, how will you know Holy Spirit in your life? How will you do what is right? God does not want us to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. We need to surrender to this Bible, approach it differently, and pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you, to lead you to revelation, to meditate. Take more of me, give me more of you. Take more of me mean I don't want to walk in my fleshy tendencies, led by my senses, what I see.
Mm.
Give me more of your revelation. Speak to my heart. Speak to my conscience. Your conscience is the way he speaks. And help me to understand in my mind so I can obey.
Yeah, someone's asking, how do we continue to obey his voice amidst fellows who also say they're hearing from the same spirit, but what they're suggesting is contrary to your heart?
Listen to me.
Remember, I
told you
the
about
prophet in the... Okay, Kara.
I told you about the fuel.
Mm.
If you don't have the right fuel, you will never go anywhere.
Mm.
It starts by the fuel. The fuel is the word that comes from the mouth of Holy Spirit. If the word comes from man, you waste your time. If God speaks, there is life. That's the parable of the sower.
Mm.
It's only the word that enters your heart, that is spirit and life spoken by the Holy Spirit from the heart of God that can lead you to walk in the Spirit.
And if someone is speaking led by the Spirit of God, it will resonate in your heart.
Your heart will testify.
Your heart will testify.
The Holy Ghost will tell you, yes, this is from me, this is not from me. That's what we call discernment.
It's not because someone says, God says, or I had a dream, or someone told me, or the Spirit told me this. Many people can say those things.
Thank you.
But it has to be the fruit of the Spirit and the testimony of God in your heart.
We have a lot of ways to go. Thank you.
Have you finished all your pictures?
I have to stop here because it's too long. Next month, we start that.
What's the last picture? Real movement?
So, yes, real movement. Real movement is obedience.
Okay.
When real movement comes, you press the accelerator, you start moving. Your faith grows. When the vehicle starts moving, first gear, second gear, third gear, as you change gear, Holy Ghost commands you to do, you walk by step, your faith becomes bigger, 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 and you begin to walk in the Spirit and become mature in life. You can see, we are talking about faith is our movement towards God Almighty. You have to be in the Spirit to receive the Word of God in your heart. That's the tongue. You have to be led by the Holy Ghost to have the fire of revelation. And now, when you obey the word and you understand the Holy Ghost, will give you strength to move forward. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. When you press them, God will give you the energy. We say revelation. Meditation brings revelation. Revelation brings what? Conviction.
Conviction.
And conviction brings real movement. That's why I explained to you today. The fourth step of faith. Mean the ingredient of faith is number one, revelation, understanding, conviction, and real movement. And you see the power of God.
Amen.
Thank you. The Lord bless you. Go over it and pray. Let the Spirit of Father lead you to understand this. And you will know that understanding is a gift from God. The fact that I have a revelation doesn't mean I cannot give it to you straight. It is your duty to go and think about it and to pray for the Holy Ghost to give you spiritual enlightenment.
So remember, it's your conscience that drives your life.
Yes.
And your mind drives your body.
That's why Prophet Jesus used to say, without an active cooperation of the mind, the conscience has no means to express itself to others.
So we need to allow our mind to be...
To submit
to
your conscience.
The conscience controlled by the Holy
Spirit.
And then
you walk in the Spirit. Your heart and your mind will be in tune with the Word of God, and you speak what is right and move what is right.
And it all starts with the Holy Spirit opening our hearts.
Thank you.
Because we can't do that by
ourselves.
Thank
you. God bless you. I want to pray for you.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody who listens to this message to help them, as you help all of us, open the eyes of our understanding so we understand your message. Holy Ghost, lead us to revelation. Lead us to understand your message. Lead us to faith. Oh Lord, lead us to real movement. Carry us along in every state. Be moved by your power. Show us what is to come. Give us inspiration and give us expression. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
So get ready not just to have a car, but to drive the car and go where God wants you to go.
We have a syllabus of a lot of messages that we hear in the YouTube channel for more than 2 years. All these steps are explained. Please go to the message and take it seriously. If you pay attention, Holy Ghost will give you that understanding.
Amen.
And your life will never be the same.
I believe this teaching today has lifted your faith and made you realize that you do really need to tune in to the things of the Spirit. And you can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not too hard or difficult for you because that's how you were programmed. You were designed to walk in the Spirit. God would never have commanded you to walk in the Spirit if you were not designed to do so. So don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Watch the message again. And again and again, and I believe the Holy Spirit will begin to change your heart and make you sensitive to his voice in Jesus' name.
So please be in the right attitude and respect the wonderful person of the Spirit of God. He loves you. He knows you. He wants to bless you and take you to where you've never been before. Respect him, call him, and open your heart to him in Jesus' name. Amen.